You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Live on a Wednesday, the morning after the big primary in New Hampshire. That's how they say it up there, New Hampshire. Down Main Way, you know. So anyway, interesting stuff last night, if you follow American politics. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. Yeah, winners and losers last night. There was a bunch of them. Pretty amazing, though, politics when you watch it on a regular basis. Man, what an amazing thing. So anyway, good morning to you. Here on a Wednesday morning, the 12th day of February, 2020. Yeah, almost halfway through February already, huh? Spring training getting going. Fired up about that. Yankees supposed to have a big year. We'll see if they can stay healthy. And, you know, I didn't really mean to talk about that this morning, but, you know, a player in Major League Baseball, Sue, the Houston Astros, for their cheating stuff, saying, you know, I had an outing against them and I just got annihilated and I got sent down to the minor leagues and I never ever pitched in the big leagues again. And, you know, I hold them responsible for that. They cheated and they ruined my career. They cost me money. So, pretty interesting lawsuit. I mean, if it does get litigated, and what's interesting about that is there's a whole bunch of guys who, by virtue of their cheating, they changed the direction of their careers and the money they were able to make. I mean, there's a guy who pitches for the Cubs now. His name is Yu Darvish. He was pitching for the Dodgers in the option year of his contract. So he's going to go into the free agent market, and he's going to get what he gets. He gets annihilated in the World Series, drives his value down, costs him millions of dollars. So it's interesting as baseball gets going here, how this is going to continue to reverberate. And there's still another investigation that's due, which will have more details. And so it's kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting. But last night I was working, as I'm prone to do. And then I was watching more stuff about the Henry Hilton, which I'm prone to do lately. And I wanted to watch, and I fell asleep and I woke up, and YouTube, you know, just keeps reading my mind and reading my searches. So I'm watching this guy from New Jersey fought on Iwo Jima. And I mean, the stories these guys tell are crazy, and I'll get to the politics thing here in a second, but I can't even remember this guy's name. I could probably go look it up, but, let me do that now that I'm going to talk about it. If you want to go watch it, let me find YouTube, and it should tell me what the hell that I watched recently or something like that, right? I think YouTube does that. So anyway, YouTube, here you go. Videos. That's not what I want. There's YouTube TV. I don't want that. I want YouTube. Boom. let me see if I can find the guy. I'll give you his name, and you can watch it. But he's like, right, Joe Blow goes to war. And he has all these crazy adventures. He has all these crazy adventures, you know, on his way out to the Pacific. He gets in fights and gets thrown in jail, and then he helps the guys who he fought. And it's the craziest shit in the world, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's here it is. His name is Vaughn Russell. World War II Iwo Jima story. He's a Delaware Marine. V-A-U-G-H-N Russell. You know, and he kind of I think he does this in his 90s. I believe his grandson does it with him. It's about an hour and 18 minutes long. But he just tells this fantastic story about, I think he joined the 3rd Marine Division. In fact, I think he was with the same company, India Company, 3rd Battalion, 9th Marines, that fought at Gatlin's Corner. Because he's got a shirt, and I could only see part of it in the video that says the flaming eye. So above the eye, and you can only see half the eye, it says the flaming, and then you see the eye. Well, there's only one company I know that's referred to as such. But anyway, and he was part of 3rd Marine Division that went ashore, what, 2 or 3 days into Iwo Jima, and then wound up going up the center of the island. And so, but the stories he tells, you know, both before the war and after the war, are pretty amazing. So I was laying there. Before I started falling asleep, I was watching the coverage of the election. And I just thought it was pretty interesting, like, right, winners, losers, and whatnot. Bernie Sanders, who won, but I don't think he actually won, right? He annihilated Hillary Clinton in that state in 2016. So Bernie Sanders, he won in name only, right? He won in name only because Mayor Pete, Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, the soldier, man. He was solid. He did well in Iowa. He does well in New Hampshire. And Bernie was supposed to bludgeon everybody up there where he's like so popular, but he didn't. You know, Bernie Sanders arguably lost ground in New Hampshire where he was supposed to be so strong. So Mayor Pete, I think, you know, he comes out solid. And then I think the surprise, obviously, is Amy Klobuchar. She's so strong in New Hampshire, so she lives to fight another day. So she was a surprise. Elizabeth Warren, again, I mean, look, if you can campaign on just giving shit away And that's going to – and bad-mouthing Donald Trump, if that can get you elected president and you don't have to have a vision, to me, she that's what she lacks. I mean, I don't – she doesn't strike me – she's never really resonated where I – and I try to be fair. I mean, even if I don't agree with them intellectually, I can see that, like, you know, yeah, there's a bit of charisma there. They've got an idea. You know, she just has never – you know, she's never broken squelch for me. Elizabeth Warren is done. Right. Sorry if you're a Liz Warren fan, but she's done. Joe Biden, right? Joe Biden is, right? His, you know, the machine that monitors your vitals? That son of a bitch is going off right now. So I don't know. Look, the nation has a history of not liking that dude, and the nation pretty consistent. And now all of a sudden, because he was Barack Obama's vice president, everybody changed their opinion of Joe Biden? I don't think so. And the whole thing with his kid, right? No matter what your political affiliation, you're looking at that and you're going, I'm not really sure what happened there. But I would tell you this, it looks a little greasy to me. This kid looks like a loser and an opportunist, right? Riding on his father's coattails. And any way you slice that shit, it comes up ugly. And, you know, and then Biden's over there. You know, there's the audio of him in the Ukraine and all that shit. But anyway, so, yeah, I don't see Joe Biden. I don't see, you know, he who falls to fifth place, man. Fifth place. The people of New Hampshire. They were like, yeah, not so much, Joe. And then he fucking left. He didn't even hang out to thank everybody. So I thought that was kind of low rent. He went on to South Carolina where we're gonna rip this thing a new ass. So we'll see about that. And then, you know, Michael Bloomberg, who's the outlier, right? He's going to come in on Super Tuesday and he's going to, like, you know, land with a thud. And then they released a video of him. You know, yesterday, if you didn't, the audio of him, if you didn't hear that, wow. Yeah, no shit. That's a straight up, like, wow. It's him talking about stop and frisk. And, and it's just, you hear the audio and you're just like, oh my God. All right. Now, let's see. Let me see if I can find it. Somebody who posted it on Twitter. And now there's a lot of people that will defend stop and frisk too. And now you're seeing headlines today of, like, Bloomberg's unapologetic racism disqualifies him. Right. So you're seeing headlines like that. So let me just tee up the audio. If I can find it here. I can find it. I'm just trying to spare myself all of the everything that goes along with somebody who puts that up. So it was on Twitter. And then the Trump campaign, you know, he's got to get the blowtorch out. Dude walks around with a flamethrower, but he doesn't carry the tank. He has like Gunga Din walking next to him with a flame tank. He just operates a flamethrower. Let's see. Let's see if this one goes.
Former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg made early headlines here right here in New Hampshire today. Not even on the ballot here. But
this is ABC's World News Tonight.
Some voters to go with him in Dixville Notch. Of course, the first town to report results, a tiny sliver of a sample, but part of the tradition here, and Bloomberg coming in first. But the former mayor is also being forced to respond tonight to audio that's newly surfaced. On the recording, you can hear Bloomberg talking about the controversial police practice called stop and frisk. Here's ABC's chief White House correspondent, Jonathan Carl, tonight, also right here in New Hampshire.
Thank God.
Michael Bloomberg isn't even on the ballot here in New Hampshire, but he scored a PR coup by coming in first in the tiny, tiny town of Dixville Notch.
Two, one.
There are only five voters in Dixville Notch, and Bloomberg called most of them directly.
Five voters.
And he called most directly.
After spending some $200 million on TV
ads,
Bloomberg is surging in national polls, even gaining support among African American voters.
This is now the Mike Bloomberg hour.
One poll.
How did that happen?
Surfaced of the former mayor defending his controversial stop-and-frisk policy. It gave police authority to detain people suspected of committing a crime.
Play the audio!
For weapons. The targets, overwhelmingly black and Latino.
95% of your murders and murderers and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities, 15 to 25.
Bloomberg then bluntly described his policy.
We put all the cops in the minority neighborhoods. Yes, that's true. Why we do it? Because that's where all the crime is. And the way you get the guns out of the kids' hands is to throw them against the wall and frisk them.
Today, one of Bloomberg's Democratic opponents.
Yeah, that audio kind of sucked, but I think you got the message. Is to throw them up against the wall and frisk them. Right, so, like, I'm not sure where that audio comes from, but yeah, you heard it yesterday, and you're like, yo, you whoa, where did that come from, right? And so politics, man, rough business, right? Rough business. So here, Mike Bloomberg and all his billions of dollars, right? All his billions of dollars, and he, now let me see if this plays. All right.
You can just take the description.
Okay. Now, see, you can always trust Twitter. Not. But this is the audio, and the audio is not great. It's a little fuzzy. So, bear with me if you've never heard, if you haven't heard this. This is amazing.
95% of your murders. Murderers and murder victims fit one MO. You can just take the description, Xerox it, and pass it out to all the cops. They are male minorities, 15 to 25. That's true in New York, it's true in virtually every city. And that's where the real crime is. You've got to get the guns out of the hands of the people that get killed. So you want to spend the money for a lot of cops in the street, put those cops where the crime is, which means in minority neighborhoods. So, it's one of the unintended consequences is people say, oh my God, you are arresting kids for marijuana. They're all minorities. Yes, that's true. Why? Because we put all the cops in the minority neighborhoods. Yes, that's true. Why we do it? Because that's where all the crime is. And the way you get the guns out of the kids' hands is to throw them against the wall and frisk them. And then they start, they say, oh, I don't want to get caught, so they don't bring the gun. May still have a gun, but they leave it at home.
So that's Mike Bloomberg. That surfaces yesterday. So what happens to him? Is he dead now? Right? Is he dead on arrival? Good question. Good question. But interesting theater last night. And now what? On to Nevada, where Elizabeth Warren, right? She just had six minority women quit her campaign in Nevada when I was there last week, a big headline, right? Six minority women in Nevada quit her campaign. And so, yeah, Liz Warren, see you later. And Joe Biden, like, unless South Carolina rescues him in a big way, he's done too. So then the question, so then you have, the other thing I think is always really interesting is when you have people that historically are one way and now they're like, they're breaking squelch in a completely different way. And I played the audio of James, former Marine James Carville. Somebody sent me an email. That dude, that dude was a former Marine. Damn it. What is up with that guy? No, yeah. Yeah, you could imagine him in the Marine Corps running his yap all over the place. But, yeah, so guys like him saying, this is not the Democratic Party, man. Bernie Sanders, you know, he says he's a socialist. That's not the Democratic Party, man. This is wrong. This has to stop. We're not even close. So, anyway, so interesting stuff. political turmoil in the country. And I think it's interesting when people have to come out and tell the truth and stand up and be accountable. So, anyway, the other thing I'm kind of curious about is the whole Roger Stone thing. Did you see that yesterday in the news? Now, the flamethrower in chief, the president, with Gunga Din trailing closely next to him, because, you know, he's a rich guy. He's not going to carry the tank. He's just going to shoot the flames. What do you mean it's, what do you mean there's no more napalm in the tank? What's wrong with you? I could only carry a 100-pound tank, sir. You're fired. Give me a bigger version of your ass. Somebody who can carry 200 pounds. So anyway, Roger Stone. Now, Roger Stone, not a lifelong criminal, right? And he does what? I mean, and how is he going to be sentenced to 9 years in prison? I mean, shit, you have people that, that attempt murder. In fact, the dude that just walked into the precinct in the Bronx and started shooting cops, that dude was charged with aggravated assault in like 2001 or 2003, something like that. Aggravated assault. That's like one down from attempted murder. That means you tried to kill somebody, but we can't, we don't really want to go there. So we'll plea bargain with you with aggravated assault. So, yeah, that's what that means. That dude was out. He's already out. And that's trying to kill people. So I don't know if, I don't know if this is more politics. If like, yeah, we don't like this dude. He's an arrogant asshole. And we're going to sentence his shit to forever in prison. And we hate the president. I don't know if it's that. Or if there is some merit to, look, dude, this is his first offense. Right? Never been in trouble before. He should get, you know, like whatever first offenders get. So I don't know. I have to, if somebody can make me smart about that, I'd appreciate it. I'll take up your explanation of it, but I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And so, you know, when you do break the law, justice is supposed to be blind. And to me, it sounded like 9 years for what he was accused of, didn't make sense to me. And then you, again, the flamethrower in chief, man, he gets his flamethrower out and he goes off. So, yeah, so interesting day yesterday, a lot of news. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. We'll check news headlines here in a minute. And then I told you that I had watched something that I was going to, you know, I was going to bring here. And that is a CSIS study on Me Lie. Now, I've done a bunch of programming about Me Lie. A lot of it because I didn't know that much about Me Lie. And so as I learned, I found it really interesting, and I thought, you know, you would find it interesting too. So we've done a bunch of it. Well, today's going to be another part of that. But, I mean, there's stuff that I learned that I had no idea when you broaden the picture, blah, 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 blah. So, so anyway, you're going to hear that today. And I'm going to tell you, some of the stuff is stunning. You're going to hear who the Army assigned to prosecute the highest visibility case of the Vietnam War. And it's going to stun you. You're going to hear about the way the Army handled it. You're going to hear about some of the stuff that I didn't hear in terms of the rape that went on that day in My Lai. So anyway, I think you'll find it fascinating. It's probably not the right word. I think you'll find it riveting in terms of its interest, and you'll enjoy it. It runs about, I want to say, probably about an hour and then 40 minutes. There's one section that I'm not going to play, so I'll skip over it. And it involves, the Army has one of their staff judge advocates, and maybe their staff judge advocate general. They have him there. And he talks about what the Army learned from all this and why the Army's better today. And so I don't know that you need to hear that, but it talks about, you know, education at formal schools and things like that and how much better we are today. Although I'm not sure that schooling goes on in our special forces community. He might want to look into that. Anyway, this was done in 2018 on the 50th anniversary of the events that happened in Mila in 1968. So you're going to hear that today. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Hua. Oops. Hua. If you're a Trump supporter, I mean, know this. The country not going to elect Bernie Sanders as president. The middle of the country, right, does not want to have a socialist government, right? It's not interested in it. So he will not get elected in the United States. So if conservatives are giddy, like, oh, yeah, nominate Bernie and we'll see what happens. And we'll watch the meltdown of the Democratic Party, who has James Carville and Chris Matthews and guys that had grown up in the Democratic Party, that was socially more liberal, but it wasn't a socialist party. It believed in defense, right, and all of that. So watching that meltdown is pretty interesting as well. Anyway, this dedicated to a captain in the Marine Corps who called me last night and who was really fired up. And I don't need to name who he is. He knows who he is. Gave me some pretty good news about post-traumatic winning, its impact, and how it's being reverberating in places that are very positive. So this is dedicated to a captain in the United States Marine Corps. Thanks for the call, bruh.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
When the danger is perceptible and the cost of acting are low, The failure to act guarantees that the threat will grow and the ultimate cost will be higher. Every day that goes by makes North Korea a more dangerous country. You don't like their behavior today? What do you think it'll be when they have nuclear weapons that can be delivered to American cities? Do you want to wait till then to act, or do you want to act now?
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We got to win, baby. That's right. We got to win. Time for check the news. Shithole weather is on the move. It's a quick reaction for us this morning. My wife's car shit the bed less than 1,000 meters from the mechanic's place. A true Lance Corporal at heart, I wanted to lash the cars together and tow it. Not happening. Position, North Oxford, Massachusetts. It's sunrise, 31 degrees Fahrenheit, looking for a high of 43 today. Winds appear light and variable. Clear skies are coming. It's going to be a nice day. Chris from Webster out. And there's a picture of him with his wife's broken-down car. Less than a click. This is from East Grand Forks, Minnesota. Blizzard warning until 3 p.m. this afternoon. Remember, warning are real. Currently 9 below zero, and temps will fall through the day until they get to 25 degrees below zero tonight. Keeps the riprap out. Wind chill currently 52 degrees below zero. Wind chill. Yes, 52 below zero. You read that right. Wind sustained. So if 52 degrees below zero is not, you know, the wind chill's not bad enough. Wind sustained at 37 miles an hour. Gusts measured up to 61 miles an hour at the Grand Forks Airport earlier this morning. But they're mostly in the 45 to 50 mile an hour range, which is the good news. Visibility sucks. I'm staying home today, you think? Snow day. Oh, my God. Look at that. A picture of Ruth Ann's driveway. And it is, like, socked full of snow. You can see where a something plowed it. Something with, you know, some kind of, looked like a skip loader because the edge is so high. The 90-degree smooth edge, yeah, that's not done by your basic snow plow, I don't think. But anyway, and then all of a sudden, the rest of it's totally filled in where the snow has been blown into it. Yeah, blowing snow. No bueno, man. No bueno. Yeah. Excuse me. I'm getting over my cold, by the way. Now, if it's bad in Minnesota, in northwest Minnesota and eastern North Dakota, it's always worse in Saskatchewan, okay? Good morning, Mac. Church Bridge's air temperature is 40 degrees lower than yesterday at this time. Currently, winds are out of the north at 11. The air temperature is 22 below. Feels like 44 below. Afternoon, sunny. Winds out of the northwest at 12. Air temperature will be 11 below. It'll feel like 33 degrees below zero. Rural Saskatchewan firefighters are all volunteers. So the number that can respond to a call varies. Should extra help be required, neighboring towns' fire departments will assist. Currently, 20 volunteers who receive weekly training operate one station with Brush 1, Engine 1, Engine 2, and Rescue 1. They provide fire suppression for structures and wildfires, rescue, medical first aid, and public education to the residents of Churchbridge and the surrounding area. And this is a picture of those fine men and women who do that stuff. And that's all across the country. Do it for free. Northwest Pennsylvania at 10:30. Pleasantville is mostly sunny and 29. On the way to 38, winds out of the south at 4 to 6. Snow starting tonight and goes into Thursday. 3 to 5 inches expected. Upper 20s overnight. And a nice picture of from the public school. What the hell? Cox. Just collided with another skier, lost consciousness, apparently spun into the woods. He crashed into me, and the motherfucker is a retired fucking squid by the looks of the hat. Video shows him crashing into me from the left, then me spinning at least 75 feet into the woods. I have little memory of any of it, including the ride down on the stretcher. What an awful day. And a picture of his ugly ass. Yeah, Cox, he's like GoPro man, right? Yeah, he's a GoPro guy. That's in his email address, GoPro something something. And he got smoked. But, well, hey, aren't you supposed to look both ways before you cross? Hello? Right? Remember, when you point one finger at somebody else, three fingers point back at you. Remember, your thumb's not a finger. Okay, so don't get confused by that. Cox having a bad day. Wife's car broke down. You should have known, man. Should have known. And you're supposed to look both ways. Quit blaming other people for your problem. From Vacaville, good morning, Mac. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville, California is currently 46 degrees. Winds out of the north-northeast at 6 to 10 and looking for a high of 71 today. Yeah. Nice. And Dave with his dog, looks like a black lab, out for a walk in beautiful Vacaville, California. So that's a look at your weather. here's another email. This is from Dave in Vacaville. What the fuck? Doesn't Cox ever work? I don't know. He's pulling down a paycheck, but he, like every day he's like a little kid. Like, where's Cox today? What's he doing? What's he doing? So anyway, I'm watching like something on my monitor right now. I don't, you know, look, the president is not the greatest human being on the planet. I got that. But man, if you're the guy that throws him under the bus, do you expect that you're going to keep him jaw? You're going to keep your job after you throw him under the bus and testify against him in the White House? Do you honestly believe that? That what's he going to walk by you in the hallway and say, hey, man, I really respect you for doing that? That's not the way politics is. Like, I get it. Like, people like, oh, you know, whistleblowers should just be, yeah, you know, maybe. But not in the White House, not in the political branch of the government, right? Maybe in the DOD, maybe in the EPA, right? And you're a whistleblower about an issue. But when you blow the whistle on an elected official, right? Good luck to you if you're wrong. Oh, this is wrong. This is more of Trump's personal vendetta. Yeah, you're right, it is. But I don't think most other politicians would run it a whole lot different. Mark, I got to disagree with you. I think Trump, yeah. Let me tell you, the difference between him and everybody else is he gets a flamethrower out. Gunga Din, up, hand me that weapon, sir. And then he blows everybody up. That's the difference. Everybody else would just do it on the down low and said, I have no comment. Yeah, we believed it was better as an organization for him to go elsewhere. No addition, no amplifying comments to that shit will be made. Yeah, that's the way it would be done. And he just, but again, I'm not holding, he's not the paragon of virtue. Let's not get him confused. But again, here's what I'm saying. Let's say Barack Obama was the paragon of virtue. He was a terrible president. He wasn't good for the economy. He wasn't good for the nation's security. He wasn't good for the international community. So maybe we have the wrong criteria for a president. Maybe your job one is the economy. Right? Job one alpha is the national defense. Be good at that, and then the chips can all fall where they may. So, again, General Zinni, you know, said in 1990 at a PME, we've got to stop teaching leadership by these traits, man. The greatest leaders in our country rarely had, right, a third of those traits. They were driven people. They were smart. They were decisive. right? They were able to put their fears aside and lead under pressure. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's what we need. Okay. All right. Now, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll check the news. We're going to go to, honestly, fascinating stuff for me live today. Fascinating stuff. So if you like military history, you'll love today's program. If you hate military history, you'll hate it. Okay. Yeah. And I think if you hate military history, you need to really go to church and you need to like say some prayers and like get your shit together. Because it's interesting. It's interesting. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is a crowd pleaser right here. I'm not going to lie to you. Me pandering to the audience. I wonder how B.B. King did in like his grammar school music that they used to throw his ass out. You're singing too loud. Your voice is too gravelly, man. You got to get your shit together, okay? How can we keep you in class if you're going to do that? Getting your morning commute off on the right foot with B.B. King here.
Was the day before love came in town.
That's American music right there, man. Nobody else makes music like that. Americans do. Bono, just loving it. All right, let's talk some. we'll divert from the commute. Hello, we'll talk some news, man. Thanks to B.B. King and you too. The interesting stuff going on in Syria. One, insurgents shoot down Syrian helicopter amid offensive. A picture of a helicopter in flames. Syrian rebels shot down a government helicopter Tuesday in the country's northwest, where Syrian troops are on the offensive in the last rebel stronghold, opposition activists said. The shooting down of the helicopter, which killed its two crew members, came as government forces came closer to capturing the last rebel-held part of a strategic highway linking southern and northern Syria, which could bring the road under the full control of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. For the first time since 2012, with backing from Russia, Syrian troops have been on the offensive for weeks in the last rebel stronghold in the Idlib province and parts of nearby Aleppo, which has been in the news for years, triggering a humanitarian crisis of some 700,000 people fleeing their homes. Hundreds of civilians have been killed, according to the United Nations. So, now, the question is, what happens when the Syrians and the Turks, when they go bumping tonight? Turkish defense minister says Turkey won't pull out amid the Syrian push. From Ankara, Turkish defense minister said Tuesday that as many as 4 observation posts and 2 military positions are now in Syrian government-controlled territory as Syrian forces continue their advance into the last rebel stronghold, an offensive that has escalated tensions between Syria and Turkey. In an interview with the Associated Press, Defense Minister Hulusi Akar said that Turkey would not evacuate any of its 12 observation posts in Idlib and warned that Turkish soldiers were under orders to retaliate forcefully if Syria attacks a military post. Quote, in the event of any action against them, they have been given instructions to retaliate even more powerfully. In the event anything happens, there will be retaliation. We expect the regime to not take any action under any circumstances. We have said over and over that we would not pull back our personnel soldiers from there. They will continue their mission. Turkey recently sent additional troops and tanks to bolster its military presence in northwestern Syria, where President Bashar al-Assad's forces have been advancing in a devastating Russian-backed offensive that has sparked a massive exodus of people. And that's what Syria doesn't want. They don't want more refugees. So anyway, pretty interesting developments in Syria between Syria and Turkey. Next headline, Syria, : U.S. troops opened fire during a standoff, killing one. A Syrian was killed and another wounded in a rare clash Wednesday between American troops and a group of government supporters who tried to block a U.S. convoy driving through a village in northeastern Syria, state media and activists reported. The state-run media said the killed man was a civilian. He was among residents of a village east of the town of Qamishli who had gathered at an army checkpoint, pelting the U.S. convoy with stones and taking down the U.S. flag from one of the vehicles. At that point, U.S. troops fired with live ammunition and smoke bombs at the residents, the report says. Can you imagine, first of all, can you imagine sitting there that long, right? As, you know, you're a sitting duck, right, which would make anybody nervous. Now, they're not only are they throwing rocks, now they're climbing on your vehicles. Like, what the fuck? Right? So here's a statement from CENTCOM. In self-defense, coalition forces returned fire. The situation was de-escalated and it's under investigation, he added in a statement. Well, no kidding, man. You do have the right to defend yourself. So, anyway, that in the news. That from Syria. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper presses NATO allies to send more troops to Iraq. Stuttgart, that's in Germany, in case you don't know. Defense, United States Defense Secretary Mark Esper on Wednesday echoed Donald Trump's recent call for NATO to expand operations in the Middle East as he urged allies to contribute more troops to the training mission in Iraq, allowing the U.S. to reduce the number of forces it has in the country. Quote, it's my ambition, but the first thing is getting NATO in. And once we get NATO in or more NATO partners in, we can look at reducing our footprint. Interesting, right? The article I talked about yesterday said NATO, while they would expect the United States to come to their aid, they probably wouldn't come to the aid of somebody else. Only five countries. Lithuania, the UK, who else? There was like five countries that said they would. And Germany and France were not among them. No, maybe France was. Maybe France was. Next. U.S. sends three aircraft along the Taiwan Straits after back-to-back Chinese drills near Taiwan. We talked about this yesterday, right? And Monday, and that is, for whatever reason, China decides to violate Taiwan airspace. The Taiwanese, they sent aircraft up to escort the Chinese fighters out of their airspace, which is pretty normal stuff, except most of the time you don't get your airspace violated. They come close, and then they turn around at the appropriate time. You send your aircraft up, you escort them away, and that's how it goes. The Air Force flew two B-52s and an MC-130J Commando 2 tanker along the Taiwan Strait on Wednesday morning after Chinese naval and air forces flew over the island twice this week. The aircraft flew north to south along the airspace over the Taiwan Strait and were closely monitored, Defense Ministry said in a statement on Wednesday. Air Force officials did not immediately respond to a request for a comment. Now, mind you, the Taiwan Strait is 110 miles wide. Yeah. So once again, China attempts to play the emperor's new clothes with the rest of the world and do their extortion thing. It's just stupid, though. On Sunday, China held a combat readiness patrol, sending bombers, jet fighters, and early warning aircraft flying through the Bashi Channel and the Miyako Strait. A Chinese Defense Ministry statement said on Sunday several destroyers and frigates were also involved in the exercise. So anyway, so that goes on. So the dance in the East China Sea continue. Next headline from Stars and Stripes. Stars and Stripes going to be defunded, partially defunded by the DOD. And again, you know, to me, I mean, Stars and Stripes has a long history, right? Is it still a requirement? You know, is it still a requirement? So I'm sure there'll be hearings in Congress about it. I think that'll be interesting because I honestly, when in all the years I was over in Iraq and Afghanistan, not once did I go to the Stars and Stripes website. Not once. Headline, are we winning the war? Now, the IG, he's a special inspector general for Afghan reconstruction. His name's John Sopko, who said some pretty blunt stuff. He says that's classified, right? He was testifying on Tuesday that measuring progress on America's longest war is virtually impossible with even the most basic facts trapped behind an ever-expanding umbrella of secrecy. Quote, every time we find something that looks like it's going negative, it gets classified. Most of the time, methods of measuring success are now classified, he said in testimony before the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee. Sopko said it is impossible to gauge whether the Afghan government could keep order in the country if the U.S. military pulled out because of the capabilities of the Afghan army and police are unknown. Quote, one question we would like to ask the Afghans is how many people they control and how much territory. And that's now not relevant, apparent. It's all secret and classified. $64 billion has gone into training and assisting the Afghan military, and I can't tell you or the American people how capable they are. And that's in part because we allow the Afghan government to classify what I can tell you and tell the taxpayer. How can any Afghan soldier, how many Afghan soldiers do we have? We're still trying to figure out how many we're paying for. How many Afghan police are there? Really? We don't know. Yeah, Sopko, man. He's got a rough job. The next, another quote. Quote, the Afghan military, and particularly the Afghan police, has been a hopeless nightmare and a disaster, Sopko said last week while testifying before the House Foreign Affairs Committee. We have a list of everything that's classified, and it keeps growing, he said yesterday. The latest is looking at the Afghan Special Forces. It's great. We put a lot of money in that. But looking at the number of independent missions the Afghan Special Forces are doing has gone down. I would bet you that next quarter the database will be classified. So, yeah, I don't know if you're a legislator, how you keep funding that if nobody will stand in front of you and tell you the truth, right? As most of you know, right, the truth is kind of important. It certainly is here on All Marine Radio. Next headline. Air Force issues new guidelines for beards, turbans, and hijabs, habibs. Airmen will be allowed to wear up to 2-inch beards under a new Air Force guidance that outlines grooming standards for religious accommodations. The updated grooming policy published on Friday also allows members of the Sikh faith to wear turbans and Muslim women to wear hijabs. Airmen must have religious or medical exemptions to grow beards, the policy says. So they have it. That's news. That's news. Next headline, U.S. and Taliban negotiators will meet again following the President Trump's approval of evidently a preliminary agreement. Now, this appeared in the Washington Post. It also appears in Stars and Stripes, who has a content-sharing arrangement. Quote, Trump has endorsed the deal and said it must be signed, the Afghan official said, explaining that when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called Afghan leaders on Tuesday, he said the peace talk deadline had been broken. Both officials who spoke on the condition of anonymity, as they were not authorized to speak to the media. So anyway, So we'll see where this goes. I mean, the United States has said, hey, look, we want a reduction in violence. And then we started unleashing on, you know, we've dropped more bombs in Afghanistan, you know, in the last, what, 6 months than we have in years. So anyway, so we'll see where it goes. It's just, you know, again, the path out of Afghanistan. And you just heard the Inspector General for Reconstruction. How can you rightly, and I'm speaking as a legislator, if you can't come and tell me where we're going with this, I'm not going to approve any more money. If we have to go to a classified setting and somebody can explain to us where the fuck we are in Afghanistan, you're going to have to do that because I won't vote to approve anything. Headline from USNI News. U.S. warns China will gain an edge if the Philippine ends the visiting forces agreement. Yep. That's a fact. Here's the next headline. Marines will soon reveal plans to divest old systems, invest in new tech to fight China. Well, we're all waiting. Another interesting thing that has long been a bone of contention, and I'll get to that thing about the Marines are going to release. Well, let me get to that right now. Megan Eckstein writes this. The Marine Corps is on a course to overhaul its force design in just a matter of years to better position itself to deter and, if needed, defeat China in the Pacific, the Commandant said today. The outcomes of two future force reviews should be publicly released within the next month, he said, though they're currently waiting final approval from the Office of the Secretary of Defense. So it'll go there. It'll be released with OSD approval. Berger said today while speaking at the annual Amphibious Warship Industrial Base Coalition breakfast, I wonder if we can find those comments. Right? I mean, come on. YouTube's everywhere, isn't it? He said that these changes show Marines' agility and operational imperatives to evolve quickly. Quote, now that's not the safe way to go. Now that's not the safe way to go. The safe way to go is holding what you've got until you have replacements, he said, of the current plans to ditch legacy systems now. But I am absolutely 100% confident that if we took the safe way, we would be outpaced in 5 years. We will not do that. In searching for ways to free up money to reinvest elsewhere, Berger said, he looked for places where, quote, if you're going to divest of some capability, is there a mixture of other capabilities that you might make up for that in the short term? And it's not a gamble at all. It is all fed by wargaming and modeling. If you take away this capability, how does the fight go? What tactics do you need to change? What structure do you need to change? But we will absolutely divest pretty rapidly in the next 3 years of capabilities that we feel like are not going to have the legs or are not worth pouring the money into to keep them going another 6 or 7 years. Leaders elsewhere in the Marine Corps have been coy about what specific systems they're eyeing to divest of or invest in, although Berger laid out a general outline in December. In his essay, which ran in War on the Rocks, he noted that some of the top priorities were unmanned vehicles to deliver lethal effects by air, to deliver logistics in all domains, and to move Marines around the ground, mobile artillery, and long-range precision fires to include anti-ship missiles, mobile air defense systems, including directed energy systems, offensive electronic warfare capabilities, and defensive signature management capabilities, mines, and more. Berger was asked today about the force design review he's conducting to work out those specifics. He said, quote, we're done with this portion of it. I'll sit down with the leadership inside the Pentagon this week and next week, and then we're off to the races. We've done our homework for this portion. He expects to brief Navy and Pentagon leaders and lawmakers and then the public on his plan in the coming weeks. I think in the next 30 days it will all come out. Yesterday, we spoke to the Secretary of Defense about it and the Deputy Secretary of Defense. I think what's going to happen is at some point, it's up to really the two secretaries for the timing. But the Navy and the Marine Corps work is largely done on this part. But then it becomes iterative. We're not going to wait 3 years to do another one because we have an adversary that's moving and technology is moving, Berger said. Whatever the outcome is, I would hope comes out shortly. But I think rightfully so, the two secretaries want to make sure that the inside analysis done by the Navy and the Marine Corps is subject to an external look, whether that's from within the building or outside, to make sure that we're not drinking our own Kool-Aid. And I don't suspect that. But I think when we're talking about big schemes like this, that's a good call. So I think we'll wait and see what the Secretary of Defense says. But I'm really happy with the collaboration between the Navy and the Marine Corps to this point and the analytical underpinning. Berger goes on to say this. Your forward contact forces that are deterring every day are your fighting forces. They'll be asked to operate in small distributed groups capable of taking a location, using it to refuel and rearm planes, strike a target, or move supplies, and then pack up and move to a new location within 48 to 92 hours to complicate Chinese forces' ability to target them or to defend against them. But again, right? So what he's talking about is seizure. I mean, you're a security force there. You're not a close with and destroy force. Anything less than that, we make it too easy for them. We're not going to do that. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see how this all shakes out. Because I know there are people that aren't okay with this. That they think, again, as Mark Cancion. In fact, the way I found the My Lai thing is I was looking for Mark Cancion's bio, and I bumped into the My Lai thing, which you're going to hear in a few minutes. So, so it's going to be interesting as this thing, you know, faces some kind of analysis from either inside the DOD or outside the DOD. And again, the concern of a whole variety of people I've talked to is the Marine Corps is going to become a security force for the Navy. We're going to do exactly what General Berger said. We're going to seize strips of land. We're going to launch rockets from those areas. Now, that's good in 3MEF. Right? That's good in the South China Sea, but the fight in North Korea against North Korea is a different fight. It's not that. Right? It's a heavier fight. It's a more infantry-intensive fight. It's not a commando fight. The fight in Iran, is that the same? What about the fight? And the problem is everybody's required to play in these things because, you know, the DOD long went away from, you know, we have to be able to fight two wars simultaneously. We don't have the ass to do that anymore. So everybody ropes, everybody rides. So, again, it'll see. And again, as we talked about, the Marine Corps' value to the nation has always been its discipline and it's the Swiss Army knife. When you're no longer the Swiss Army knife, and your dance card is very short. I don't do all those dances anymore, right? I just do the two-step. Well, that limits you. That limits you. So, again, I along with many others, you know, are waiting to see the details of this. And what he's talking about is giving up the heavy side of the Marine Corps because the Marine Corps doesn't think that it any longer applies. And so history tells me one thing when you go down that road. You're either a genius and you can see over the horizon or you're a fool, one of the two. So I guess time will tell. And so this whole process that's now evidently in the hands of the Secretary of Defense will be interesting to see how the Marine Corps gets through it. And then when he rolls it out, see what's interesting, what lawmakers will say. It's been kind of interesting. There's an article that says, after decades focusing on terrorism, special operations is broadening its horizons. Right? We were talking about special forces, right, did not automatically mean direct action. Right? That has become, right, you know, just that was the Don Rumsfeld thing. We're going to have these special forces guys wheeling around and, you know, they're going to land, they're going to whack people. Didn't work. That was the plan for Iraq. Yeah, that's how we're going to control the country. It was just, it was stupid. So, but historically what they've done is they've trained, you know, other nations' militaries, and then they've, and then the kind of covert operation thing, you know, has grown over time. But it wasn't almost exclusively what Americans think is direct action. So anyway, that's a headline today. Top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, Philippines notifies U.S. of intent to end major security pact. Number two, U.S. Taliban close to a reduction in violence agreement. Well, that'll be interesting. President Donald Trump's national security advisor said yesterday he is cautiously optimistic that there could be an agreement with the Taliban over the next days or weeks, but a withdrawal of American forces is not imminent. So we'll see. Does that sound like a truce? A reduction in violence agreement? Maybe a truce? Number three, is the military doing enough to look for signs of white nationalism in its ranks? Good Lord, man. You know what? What happens is because of social media, these idiots get a platform like they all do, like Antifa does. I mean, like all these radical groups do. And now it's like, now it's a big, now I got to look for these idiots. Anyway, number four, as China expands its navy, U.S. begins stockpiling ship-killing missiles. The stunning growth of the Chinese fleet over the past decade has prompted the U.S. Navy to plan a full-on buying spree of ship-killing missiles over the next 5 years, according to projections in the Sea Services fiscal 2021 budget documents. Well, no shit, man. You think it's appropriate? You said you're going to pivot to the Pacific. You might want to take some ammunition when you go, and it ought to be stuff that, you know, is appropriate for the theater. Yeah, I don't think you need to be like Kreskin to figure that one out. Number five, Trump suggests Army should punish the officer who testified in the impeachment inquiry. Right. Okay. It's time for you to put the flamethrower down, son. You need to probably go take a nap. Overseas operations. One, with limited resources, U.S. military shifts strategy from degrading militants in West Africa to containment. Violence by military groups in West Africa has spiked 250% over the past 2 years, but constrained resources and manpower has pushed the U.S. military to switch strategies from degrading terror groups to containment, according to a recent Inspector General report. Now, what's interesting is the United States said that, yeah, Africa, we're kind of going to reduce our forces there. And what happened? Our European kind of sort of allies? They're not really allies, right? What, ally in name only? An Ino? Yeah, ally in name only. So our Inos, they were like, no, you can't, you know, we have economic interest in Africa. We have colonies in Africa. We have historical ties to Africa. You guys can't leave. Who else is going to secure that son of a bitch if you leave? Well, maybe you could send more of your forces. No, no, what? Are you crazy and have our guys get killed when you can have your people get killed? No, we thought that was like a good idea. Yeah, right. Next headline, overseas operations. Reconstruction and stabilization efforts in Afghanistan resulted in more than 200 U.S. troop deaths, according to a watchdog group. Again, this is all folded around the testimony of Mr. Sopko. Number three, U.S. to seek more help from NATO to counter the Islamic Republic in Iraq. We've talked about that. Singapore's got an air show going on. Problems, though, because of the coronavirus. Now, there's a few DOD headlines that I'm going to read to you. Stars and Stripes, military newspaper for service members in jeopardy of losing Pentagon funding. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, ask how many service members read Stars and Stripes. Answer, very few. And where does, I mean, look, when I read you content of Stars and Stripes, the majority of it comes from the Associated Press, you know, and different, you know, newspapers that they have content sharing arrangement with. So, again, as much as, I mean, I love, like, old stuff like that, you know, Ernie Pyle wrote for Stars and Stripes. Yeah, I mean, that's great. But, I mean, I think that the average, you know, American, right, gets their news different ways, and I'm not sure that Stars and Stripes hasn't outlived its mandate. Number three, no, that's it. All right, that's the news today. So I hope you found any of it interesting. One more story that I forgot to get to. Now, this has been an age-old issue, right? Headline, judge orders Navy to release USS Thresher disaster documents. Yeah, I mean, what happened to the USS Thresher? A U.S. District Court judge ordered the Navy to start releasing unclassified documents related to the sinking of the USS Thresher. 57 years after 129 officers, sailors, and shipbuilders died in the nation's worst nuclear submarine disaster. Retired Navy Captain James Bryant, a former Thresher-class submarine commander, sued the Navy in July to force the release of unclassified investigation documents detailing Thresher's operation during its final dive. The Navy previously rebuffed Bryant's request for records under the Freedom of Information Act. During a Monday court hearing, Judge Trevor McFadden ordered the Navy to start releasing the requested material. Bryant, while pleased with McFadden's ruling, shelved his excitement until he sees what the Navy starts releasing and whether the documents are heavily redacted. In his retirement, Bryant has taken to investigating the cause of the Thresher sinking because even six decades later, he thinks there are valuable lessons to be learned. The Thresher never resurfaced after conducting a test dive on the morning of April 10, 1963. Mechanical failures or even Soviet interferences have been cited as possible reasons for the sinking. However, the Navy has kept a close hold on roughly 3,600 Thresher-related documents while saying a classification review occurs. The requested documents, more than 50 years old, should be unclassified and releasable by now under federal declassification rules, Bryant's attorney said. Interesting. So, yeah, the Thresher has been, you know, what happened. So maybe we'll get at least some information about that. All right. It is now 9:18 here on the West Coast. We will take a break, and then when we come back, you're going to hear a CSIS panel that talks about what happened in My Lai. So I think you'll find, I mean, I found it fascinating because, I mean, these guys have written books, you know, they're authors, they're pretty learned dudes. They've been studying My Lai for most of them, the majority of their lives. Some of them are legal scholars and review it from a, you know, they were in the military, they got out, they became fascinated or somehow or they had a connection to it and have spent a lot of time on it. So don't touch that dial. I think you'll find it absolutely riveting stuff. I did, and I thought I knew a lot about My Lai because I've listened to a lot of people talk about it, but there were things that I learned from this that I had never heard before. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio, a little military history, coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.